It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight without Jack Stogler tonight, so you're stuck with me. And we're talking tonight with folks from the school administration, I'd guess, is the best way to describe it. And well, I'll let you guys introduce yourself. I'll start with you, Mr. Stahl.
Sure. Yeah, Tony Stahl. I'm the superintendent of Fort Recovery Local Schools. This will be my going into my third year as superintendent. And then prior to that, I was a high school principal for 3 years and the middle school principal for 4 years. So this will be my 10th overall in the district, but my third is superintendent. So happy to be here tonight.
Yep, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
I am Ryan Follenkamp. I am the district technology coordinator, also going into my 10th year at Fort Recovery. Many changes since I've gotten there, but it's been a good ride so far.
That's good.
And I'm Laura Brandt. I'm the elementary principal. This is my third year in this position at Fort Recovery, third year with Fort Recovery. 25 years, though, altogether in education.
Yeah, you were in Salina before, is that correct?
I was in Salina, and before that, even Columbus.
So. Oh, so you've been to the big city and stuff.
I have.
So, all right. So we're going to talk about a lot of the school things. Some are maybe hot button topics, things that people have thought about, and other things that we don't know about and didn't know was going on and might not have thought was a problem and might or might not be, and what our solutions are going to be for these possible problems. So we'll take a little break and we'll come back and we'll get into all the meat of all of this back in just a minute or two.
It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Brick Street Tavern serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Their weekday lunch menu changes throughout the week and includes homemade pies and soups. On the weekends, they offer evening steak and chicken dinners. And catering services are also available. For more information, call 419-375-4888.
We thank Brick Street Tavern for supporting the Tribe 107.3. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Cooper Farms, family-owned and operated since 1938. With locations in Mercer, Dark, Van Wert, and Paulding counties, Cooper Farms produces a wide variety of turkey, ham, and chicken products, along with table eggs and liquid eggs distributed across North America. They're also proud to give back through community initiatives right here in Northwest Ohio. Learn more at cooperfarms.com. Thanks to Cooper Farms for supporting local athletics and the Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery. K&L Tractor Sales is located on State Route 49 South and carries a variety of new and used farm equipment, including tractors, skid steers, hay tools, tillage and harvesting equipment. You'll find brands like Ferris, Kloss, Great Plains, Salford BBI, Artsway, New Holland, and more. They offer parts and service to keep farm and rural equipment running smoothly. You can learn more at kltractorsales.com.
Thank you to K&L Tractor Sales for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio.
The Fort Recovery Girl Scouts will be hosting a spaghetti dinner on Sunday, October 5th from noon to 2. It will be drive-through carry-out only, and the dinners can be picked up at the American Legion. The dinners include spaghetti and meat sauce, salad, a breadstick, and dessert. And the tickets are just $10 each and can be purchased from any Fort Recovery Girl Scout or Scout leader. And they'll also be sold at several of the home football games in September. Get with one of our local Girl Scouts now and get your tickets for their spaghetti dinner, served on Sunday, October 5th from noon to 2 at the Legion. Drive-through only. All proceeds will go to the Fort Recovery Girl Scouts.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with school folks, and so We'll just start with our superintendent, Tony Stahl. So what's going on in school this year? I know it's early, but I'm sure some things have happened.
Yeah, no, it's...
Or you can tell us about what's new and what's old and all that, wherever you want to go.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And certainly thank you all for what you guys do covering all the sporting events. And I know the fall's a busy time of year, so certainly thank you, Neil. But great start to the school year so far. I mean, we're 3 weeks in here now, almost to the end of 3 weeks here, going on a month maybe. So great start. I mean, very, very good start to the district. I mean, you always have a couple of hiccups to start the year. There's always some things that you didn't see coming, or things you kind of oversight plan for, especially with the operational side, getting everything to run on time from lunch to the buses to the kids' schedules out and all those things. So, but overall, a very, very strong start to the district. I mean, we got, things are in full swing now. We have, New Bremen coming to town, volleyball tomorrow night. So we're in the heat of the MAC season with that. We got the girls' golf team's doing good. They got a tough one with St. Henry tomorrow night, I believe, top two in the MAC there. And, our band this weekend went to Troy for a competition, so they're in that full swing. Our soil judging's getting started.
I heard from one of the band kids that was the first of many. I guess they call them competitions where they get judged whether they're going to get to state or not.
So all that's going on. We have student appreciation night tomorrow night, so if anybody's listening out there, Friday night. The game versus St. Henry football game, so the weather looks good for that, so come on out. I think we got a million and one things going on Friday night, so
that's always good. There's always neat games, prizes, all kinds of it's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. I think little kid cheerleading night, and then maybe alumni band night. I mean, it's like everything you can do tonight. It's going to be a fun night, so it'll be busy, but it'll be fun, so come on out if you're
and we hope there's a victory.
But the one thing I will say, and just to kind of get started with the year, obviously it's going great, but one kind of area of our staff that is really a crucial part of this, that's always a puzzle every year, is our transportation schedule, kind of piecing that together, our bus drivers. A lot of people don't know, we have 7 regular routes, and they go, obviously in the morning and the afternoon, and it's nearly 370 miles daily that just those buses travel. And then we have about another, just this fall season, so you look at golf, you look at volleyball, you look at cross country, you look at band, all those things, football, it's about 9,000 miles of extracurriculars that we put on in just the fall season. And
wow.
So those are, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of trips, on Saturdays, in the evening, that kind of stuff that our drivers are picking up. And we have, during my tenure, going on 3 years, we've come close sometimes to not having to be able to push things out. And we've definitely, been creative with our schedules, and it's not always perfect, but, our bus drivers do a phenomenal job of picking that stuff up. So, we have all the routes are filled and everything for right now, but we're always looking for more people. So if you are interested in picking up a part-time job,
the route can be filled and then somebody gets sick.
Yep, we always need subs. We always need people to pick up extracurriculars, that kind of thing. So, we want to provide, one of our core values is, maximizing opportunities and providing opportunities to students. So, with that though, there's a logistical piece behind it. You need people to be there on the weekends and have their CDLs and keep their licenses up and, being able to transport students safely all across the state of Ohio. So if anybody's interested or just wants more information, there's training process with it. There's stuff at school that we can help you with. Certainly reach out if you're interested. But I would like to give a shout out to all of our drivers, both regular and subs.
Are there any kind of benefits that go with any of that, or is it just pretty good paycheck and you get to help people and go to and take the kids home and back and go to sporting events?
Yeah, I mean, right now that's kind of where it's at. It's a pretty good hourly rate. You're talking in the high 20s, just starting out.
That's pretty good
for an hourly rate. And then there's some paid training that we offer, so you get trained to that, and especially to keep your license current, we provide for that. And then obviously, if you're a grandparent or if you're even a parent that hey, I'm going to the cross country meet anyway, I might as well get my license. Or maybe you have a CDL through your own private job that you have. Get that passenger and school bus endorsements a little bit easier. Then you can get paid, go watch your grandson or son or daughter or whatever, play those sports and help the school out. So certainly where we're at right now, and obviously, jobs open up, we kind of try to pair that with driving to get those people more benefits and a higher salary. But, we have a position open right now that we're working on filling. So we're hopefully close with that. It's kind of a part-time, full-time, technically not a full-time driver, part-time driver. So yeah, but we're always looking, and it is a big crucial piece that I think often gets overlooked in the whole schooling process.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't think about that. And, if you're, let's say you're retired or you have a second shift job.
Sure.
You can work, get up in the morning, go drive the bus. Somebody else can take them home in the afternoon.
And there's a lot of really, you know, cool programs that I think people don't know that actually go on. Like, we bring several preschool students over to St. Henry. We bring some students over to the hospital that participate in kind of a work-based program, mm-hmm. Over to Salina, obviously, for TriStar. So, you know, there's a lot of different things during the day. Like, it's not just extracurriculars and the AM/PM routes. There's a lot of stuff, you know, between the bells that's going on that, you know, if you're interested in that too, helping out, subbing, or even picking up some of that, you know, we'd certainly love to talk to you.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And kids generally get very attached to their bus drivers because the bus drivers are usually pretty good people.
Sure, they're great people. They're great. Yeah. You're usually the first thing, you know, the first person a kid sees and the last person, yep. you know, kind of the face of the district. So, yep. you know, and ours are fantastic. We have some excellent drivers, but, you know, we're always looking to kind of keep that you know, line open. So,
yep.
That's probably a great segue there, Tony. You know, I think Neil was just talking about starting a mobile radio show, so he could probably do that right from the bus.
Yeah.
Well, if you can
interview some kids, it'll be amazing.
We could do that if you can handle the technology for us. And
oh, I got your back on that one.
I figured you could. That wouldn't be a bad thing to do every once in a while.
Honestly, next time we get some bus drivers up here. I got some drivers we could probably get up here and get on the next Insight maybe in a couple of months.
Bring them up next week.
All right, I'll see what we can do on
that. Just had somebody cancel, so I got to find somebody for next week, but we might not want to do that quite that soon, but we can.
Sure.
So anytime you think you have something lined up, we'll always try to get you on. So,
but yeah, overall, great start to the school year. 904 kids, up a little bit from last year, so that's good to see. But, you know, up and running, and we're excited to keep going and have a good year. So,
yep. So overall, things are going well.
Yeah, yep.
No big glitches, no air conditioning croaking or anything like that all of a sudden.
No, we've been good, and the weather's been good.
I was going to say the air conditioning might not work at all. Yeah. I guess today you'd have figured it out.
Well, a big shout out to our main, like Kevin Will and Clint Kramer and our maintenance guys. You know, we did a VAV project. I think it was mm-hmm. one of the things we talked about with our facilities review and kind of some of the things we talked about last I was on, maybe last April or something. And we did 109 box, variable air volume box, which is part of our EMS building. So there's 109 HVAC parts that needed, and they were, you know, that was over in Laura's building, and even Ryan's building, I guess, you know, you guys were in there all summer, and they were, some of them were as big as a mini fridge, some of them were as big as a small car, these units that they had to get up and down at 109.
Wow.
They turned the whole thing over in the summer, and so it's been working well, and they did an excellent job. I think maybe 3 weeks to go to school, there was maybe some slight panic attacks.
It was a little nerve-wracking.
It was a little nerve-wracking with where we're at, but they did a fantastic job. So it was very, very big project done well and done on time.
With Kevin and Clint, I can see where things were done mm-hmm. the right way and on time. So
we're in good hands there for sure.
Yes, I would say. Anything else you want to throw in before we move on to the next people, or what do you?
You know, one of the things I think I take the opportunity to talk about, and people have probably heard it out there, is the cell phone law.
Yep.
So that's one thing that is...
And that is a state law.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, that. So it's been on the books. Like back in 2025, schools had to have a policy restricting cell phone use, and we always had a policy and rules on restricting cell phone use. You know, mm-hmm. teachers, you know, had to be away in class and certain times, and you know, other times you were allowed to have it, other times you weren't. As long as you followed those kind of rules, generally speaking, you were okay. So that was kind of, you know, restrictive policy, but you know, kids could use them at times. And now, beginning in, you know, by January 1, 2026, so this coming January, there's a new law that requires districts to have a policy that prohibits prohibition of student cell phone usage during the instructional day. Okay, and so that was, you know, there's a little bit out there, I think, in some circles, depending on it, what is instructional day. Mm-hmm. So is it, you know, the classroom, the period that they're in? Is it in the hallway between periods? Is it lunchtime? Is it maybe, you know, somewhat, maybe not instructional time, but more of classroom time, like a study hall? Mm-hmm. So where does that line? So the Department of Education is kind of put out some guidance in a line with Governor DeWine's office that says it's kind of a complete instructional day ban. So that's everywhere, you know, whether they're in the classroom, in the lunchroom, and all that stuff.
So when I text some of my guys that help me and say, we need you to, things change, and they change the time, and I need you to be here at 3:30 to take off for somewhere, that might be a problem.
They're not just ghosting you, Neil.
Yeah,
okay.
They should not be responding, hopefully, beginning in January. So, you know, we're looking at it. That's the thing. There's some issues out there of what is the instructional day. And then there's carve-outs in the law for, like, educational or medical reasons if a student mm-hmm. is on, you you know, maybe like a diabetic student who has like an insulin reader on a phone or some sort of medical need, or even instructional. Like I know our high school, Mr. Blockberger, high school PE, and a lot of our coaches use an app called Platform, which is on the students' phones, and it kind of video, like they can do workouts and log workouts, like how many reps you did and stuff. So they can kind of track that, and it builds workout plans for them, and then it shows them the exercises and stuff. So there's very much, you know, how to use the weight equipment properly kind of thing. So there's an instructional piece there. So, you know, they can use it for that, but not other things. So we are working through, we have a, like a policy guidance agency. Mm-hmm. We haven't adopted ours officially yet, but that's kind of going to come out with us actually next week and work and say, hey, here's what a lot of schools in the area and in the state are doing based on the new law. Here's what the new law says. This is what we recommend you do. And obviously we'll work with our, you know, high school principal, high school staff. Obviously the Board of Education will be, you know, presented these options to kind of review. And we're looking at it from a common sense approach. You know, obviously we want to be compliant with the law, but there is a lot of reasons why kids would need to use cell phones. But, you know, on the same token, you know, there's a lot of reasons why a kid doesn't need to use a cell phone in school.
Right.
They can create a lot of problems as well. So looking at kind of balancing that and rolling that out beginning in January 2026. Yep.
Had we, as a school district in general, had problems with kids with cell phone? Has that been a big deal for us?
I don't think. I mean, I was talking to Mr. Steinbrenner. This is the summer when we were kind of talking about this, and I think maybe he had 2 to 3 issues where he had to take a cell phone last year from a kid. You know, didn't stop messing with it during class, or didn't listen to the teacher when they asked him to put it away. So, you know, not a huge problem, I would say, in terms of a large scale discipline. Yeah. But yeah, I know, you know, things go on that we don't know about too. You know, there's over 300 kids in the high school, and you know, over 900 kids in the district, and you know, a lot of them have cell phones and they're texting people and video, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So there's certainly a big, you know, distraction component to that where they could be focused on instruction, locking in for the academics, and kind of not being, you know, pressured or bothered by, you know, everything that a cell phone can plug you into. So
Okay. So anything else you want to throw in?
The other thing I wanted to bring, you know, maybe just kind of because it's a new thing this year for the 24-25 report card, and I know at least from the high school standpoint, Ryan Steinbrenner and Amy Kaiser, our high school guidance counselor, have been really working hard towards this because, you know, we don't know our 24-25 report card yet, but one of the components now for the first time is going to be something called a college and career workforce our military readiness assessment. So that's college, career, workforce, and military. So basically the 3 E's that we always kind of talk about, right? Enrollment, enlistment, and employment. So now there's a component, you know, that the state of Ohio is going to measure from your high school in your district at a larger scale and kind of factor that into your overall report card score. So that is something that they've kind of been telling us, this is coming and this is how we're going to measure it and this is what you got to do and plan for. And it goes all the way back to several years ago. I have to give credit to our, you know, Amy Kaiser and our previous high school principal before me, Mr. Bill Overla, kind of started this tracking process that we have evolved over the last 5, 6, 7 years, where we kind of track what a kid is doing and what track they're on and what courses they're in and what scores they're getting and how that's going to kind of project and get them to be not only, you know, graduation compliant, so we can give them a diploma in May, but also get them to where they need to be, you know, for one of those 3 E's. So there's like kind of a piece of, all right, now there's the finish line, and the finish line was always to get them credits and ready for a diploma, graduate from Fort Recovery High School. But now there's kind of a, you know, that secondary step. All right, what are they doing? Are they employed, enlisted? Are they enrolled in the higher education? So now the state's kind of coming in and measuring some of that. And so some of the things they're measuring is obviously, you know, military enlistment, how many kids are enlisted of the military, AP scores, are those kids college ready, ACT, you know, when our kids, juniors take the ACT, are they getting remediation-free college scores? Are they prepared? Are we, you know, our career technical education, like all our web exams that Mr. Gower and Mr. Hawk do for all of our classes, agricultural tech classes, when those kids take those tests at the end of the year, ag mechanics, whatever it is, you know, those scores are now factoring into that. And so that's kind of a new piece, and you add all of those together, and you get, you know, your district's score out of 5 stars. And so that's one thing that we're very hopeful. I think preliminary, we're pretty excited about how it's going to come out. But again, it's not, I think it's a week or two that'll be released. But that is a new, kind of a new thing that people will see. And we'll kind of push out in the Forsyth Journal explaining it a little bit. Yeah. But we are pretty proud, and we've done a lot of work on that.
And I would assume that we would do very well on that. But with a new thing, you don't know exactly how they're going to sort it all out. So, I think community-wise, we feel like the school is doing a tremendous job in all of those areas. And but however they measure stuff compared, you know, because they throw in stuff with the big cities, schools, and the all this kind of stuff, and we don't know how they're really going to measure it. We've had some surprises in the past on some stuff where the community knows that we're doing a good job, and we got like a 3 out of 5, and everybody in the community said, well, they had no idea what they're talking about, because we know that our kids are going to work after school, and they're ready to go to work or college.
Yeah, and I think we've done, you know, we've kind of focused it on the last couple of years, even as high school principal and then now as superintendent working with Ryan and Amy. It's like focusing on, you know, what are the programs we offer? What are the things our kids are interested in and need? Mm-hmm. And trying to kind of more drive decision-making from that, as opposed to be like, okay, what's the new thing, the new measuring stick we have to do, you know, coming out of Columbus? Mm-hmm. We've kind of reversed it on its head and saying, all right, what are we doing well? What are some things we can kind of raise the good things up? What are some things we can improve? You know, keeping in the back of our mind, like, there is a standard we're going to be held to here. Yeah. But kind of focusing on building those things up that we have and giving our people that are already doing really great things the ability to keep that going or maybe bring it to the next level. And so we're hoping some of that will kind of pay off and now this new score. But, you know, again, like you said, it's not everything. It's not the end all be all, but it is certainly a big chunk of what they do at the high school for sure.
Yes. And, you know, it helps everything around, because if a business is looking at moving into Fort Recovery, building something here, they're going to be looking at the schools and the scores and a number of other things, of course. But if we have good schools, that helps everything just keep growing.
Yep, absolutely.
So you're saying that's a couple of weeks away, probably?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, have they released the date? I haven't seen it yet.
Date.
Yeah, it's normally like mid, late September, but I haven't seen the exact date when that's coming out.
So I'm sure our community will be happy with the score, because we might not be happy with the score. Sometimes they give us goofy grades but the community is always happy with what's going on in our schools, and I think we've kind of hit home runs on all the hirings we've had from bus drivers and custodians and teachers' aides to teachers and administration all the way through. I think everybody's really happy with
the
direction our school is going. I don't hear bad things at all.
Sure.
So I think it's great. So anything else you want to get into, Mr. Saul?
No, those are the kind of two things I wanted to share.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Mr. Fullenkamp and Mrs. Brandt, and we'll be back with more stuff on the school after this.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Klingshern & Sons Trucking in Burkittsville. For over 50 years, Klingshern & Sons Trucking has been providing a safe workplace for their employees and maintains integrity, fairness, and honesty with their customers and business partners. With their dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers, they provide local and long-haul transportation with on-time delivery. Learn more online about Klingshern & Sons and their employment opportunities at klingshernandsons.com. Their phone number is 937-338-5000.
We thank Klingshern & Sons Trucking for supporting the Tribe 107.3.
Tonight's Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3 is supported by Hull Brothers Case IH, serving farmers and families for more than 125 years. Located in Fort Recovery, Hull Brothers offers new and used tractors from Case IH and Kubota, plus parts and service to keep your equipment running strong. They also carry mowers and outdoor gear from Grasshopper, Cub Cadet, and Toro. Learn more at hullbros.com or call 419-375-2827. Thanks to Hull Brothers for supporting Fort Recovery Athletics and today's broadcast on the Tribe.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery, offering bowling, family fun, and a place for the community to gather. Hey, Harry Carey, tell us more.
Hey, they've got lanes for parties and celebrations and open bowling on the weekend. In the kitchen, it's wings, pizzas, sandwiches, wraps, and subs. Plus a pizza wing and salad bar buffet every Friday at lunch. For more information, the number's 419-375-4274.
We thank Miracle Lanes and Fort Recovery for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up for us of this week on the Hometown Huddle for recoveryradio.com and WFRC, the Tribe 107.3 FM. Our Lady Indians have another big MAC match tomorrow hosting New Bremen, and you can hear the varsity match live on the Hometown Huddle. Friday, it will be football hosting the St. Henry Redskins, and it'll be Student Appreciation Night. We'll broadcast the game on the Hometown Huddle stations. The Wayne IGA pregame show will start at 6:40. Get out and support our Indians teams this week. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live on the Hometown Huddle, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight with school administration. And so we've talked with Mr. Stahl about the cell phone things and college and career and military and other thing readiness. And so I guess maybe we'll just go around the table. We'll go to Ryan Fullenkamp. So what are you wanting to fill us in on that we either already sort of know and you want to refresh, or brand new stuff?
Well, you know, Neil, I'll tell you what, when it comes to technology, I feel like there's a lot of things that maybe I assume people know, but, you know, maybe they don't.
I don't.
A lot of that came to light. Me and Tony were having a conversation over the summer, and he was asking for some data, and I threw together this whole nice spreadsheet of things, and I said, you know, I don't know if I even knew all that, looking at it in that regard. And, you know, a lot of that is just kind of how many devices, like, we have on our network and why we do the things we do. And so I thought it'd be kind of a good time to kind of share that with people. And because, you know, we all have our home networks at home, and we know we have a few TVs connected and our iPads and our cell phones, and we know it's just bad when it goes off. But yeah. Otherwise, we like it if it's working. But if people are looking at the school, we did the numbers, and it's about 1,800 devices connected on our network every day. Now, wow. Some of that's school devices, some of that's personal devices.
So I think you said there's 902 in the school, so twice as many devices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to figure if they have their school device that we provide them, and mm-hmm. then also their cell phone. So luckily enough, that new law actually helps kind of take the burden off of the network a little bit, because the kids aren't surfing on their phones and their devices at the same time.
Yeah. But then there's
decent.
There's computers, and all the you know, the teachers all have computers. Oh, yeah. The offices all have several computers probably. And so there's, you take the cell phone out, and there's still a lot of devices.
Oh, absolutely. And and just as far as how much bandwidth we're using, and I'm sure most people don't pay a whole lot of attention to that when they get their Spectrum bill or whatever the case may be, but we did the math on that, and kind of the consistent usage throughout the day is about the equivalent of 70 households. That's just that much internet all the time happening.
Wow.
Seems like it would have been more, but I was like, well, we're doing it consistently. If you're at home, you're not pulling all that all the time. But yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, that seems to me like quite a bit. But still,
yeah. And one of the bigger things is, you know, when I started back in 2016, we had a much smaller bandwidth package then. And you know, the mindset then was like, just get everybody connected to the internet and all the things they can do, right?
Yep.
And over these 10 years, you know, the speeds have increased greatly, but now it's almost gone the other way, where it's like, well, getting connected is not the problem. Now we have to start dialing everything back and try to, you know, keep people safe from all the other things that are out there.
Yeah. And there's always somebody trying to hack stuff and do stuff.
And I think you're seeing that on a lot of different levels. I mean, different schools, you know, they're kind of seem to be these cyber terrorists, or whatever you want to call it, are kind of targeting, you know, what I would consider like a softer target. You know, yes. Somebody with a lot mm-hmm. of sensitive information that maybe has.
Yeah, without $200,000 a year Tex garden it.
Sure.
Yeah, and on our side, you know, we can rely on kind of our next level support, the fine folks up there, NOACSC and Lima. They run a lot of our firewall and things like that, and they help us a great deal because, you know, we have a much smaller staff. So just like you were talking with all the people attempting to attack us, well, at least we have a first line of defense before it ever gets to the school, which has been a godsend for us.
So that helps. That helps a lot because, you know, you can be the best in the world, but you can't fight off 40 of them at a time.
Nope. It is pretty wild seeing those numbers up there, but that's when I get into a room with a bunch of tech people and we look at all that. Everybody else is like, you're talking gibberish to me. I don't even know what you're saying.
Yep.
So we'll skip that. We won't go into the Greek for that much. But,
thank you very much.
We'll just say flux capacitor and 1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just fine. I think one of the other big things I wanted to mention tonight is, you know, you send your kids into the school. Some kids are bringing their devices home, hopefully, to get their homework and stuff done. Some might be leaving it there at the school. But I guess just what is going home to with your kids, right? So right now, our kindergarten through second grade, they have Chromebook carts that are in their classrooms, and they have ability to use those throughout the day. Those aren't necessarily one per child, but enough for your classrooms to do what they need to do. Starting in third grade up through eighth grade, then, is when we are what they call one-to-one. So every child has a device that's assigned to them that is theirs to kind of take care of for the year. And then once they hit fifth grade, that device actually goes home with them as well. So they get to take it home and do their homework, and, you know, they're kind of responsible for taking care of that device then. And then
just a quick question on that. So do sometimes or even always, and Ms. Branch, you probably might be able to help me with that too, do the teachers assign things that they would need to have the Chromebook at home with them? Is that?
Yes, they definitely do that.
Okay, so they should take them home.
They should take them home. A lot of times.
Well, they probably not every day that they have the Chromebook homework.
Although, I do think they try to teach the kids, because this is the first time they're really responsible for it outside of the school. So, you know, those etiquette things like have your Chromebook charged and make sure it's where it's supposed to be, you know, when you need it. So those are part of their homework as well. In fact, I know fifth grade has a whole like checklist for them. So they remember to do those kinds of things. And then each teacher has something called Google Classroom set up so that they can go in and do the assignments.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
We got through, I think, of 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th.
Yep. And that's kind of where the things shift for us. We are actually very unique. In the Mac, we are the only school that is doing this. But once they hit high school, we have Windows laptops that go home with our students. Now, it was that way when I got here. I will give props out to John Judy if he's out there listening. He had started that with Windows devices here. I know a lot of their schools switched over to Chromebooks for their high school grades as well, because Chromebooks are extremely easy to manage. And they're more of a, what you call a throwaway device. There's just lots of plastic, and if they break, you know, you can repair some stuff, but otherwise you haven't invested a whole lot, you throw that thing away. But I came from the private sector before I got the job here in the school, and I'll tell you what, every business out there is still running on Windows. So if, Neil, you look over at your computer right now, I bet it's running Windows.
Absolutely.
So one of my big, I guess, feelings is to make sure that we have our high school kids, maybe they're not an expert at Windows, but when they leave here and they're not going to college and going to get a job, whatever the case may be, you know, they walk in day one and they don't ask where the Chromebook is and everybody looks at them real goofy.
Yeah. So that gets them actually a little more acclimated to the real world.
Yep, well, that's the hope anyway, right? Yep. You can lead a horse to water, and that's our hope.
But at least they've seen it. It's not, what is it?
Yeah, exactly.
So, other stuff you have going on, or was there more to the high school?
I was only going to say the other thing on that is it's actually allowed us, so we have some high school tech helpers that come and help us out throughout the year. You know, they sign up to come do that. They'll sit in our office then, and then we're teaching them how to repair those. We're teaching them how to repair Chromebooks and then also those Windows devices. So we've had people who have gone through all their years and helped me in those rooms, and then, you know, went out into the real world and Actually, my current assistant, Brandon Follenkamp, was one of my tech kids in high school. And, you know, we taught him all those skills. And then he came back in and he's hit the ground running day one and doing a heck of a job.
Yes, I've interacted with him a few times and he knows what he's doing.
He does.
He's pretty sharp. And that's good.
We also have a similar program, kind of the same thing Ryan's talking about with our maintenance staff. So Kevin Will kind of oversees a high school student to kind of assist in his maintenance duties. So it's like a part-time job for him, but also kind of like an internship for our students. They kind of get a little hands-on. And it's kind of competitive. We don't, you know, we don't only take on one per year, and it's, you know, a couple of kids will apply and they kind of go through them and pick one. So yeah, kind of getting at least a couple get some hands-on real-world experience and also helping our people, whether it's maintenance or...
And sometimes, you know, probably this early in the year, they might not be proficient at certain things, but they can certainly hand you things while you're standing on the ladder. And they can be observing what you're doing and you can explain to them. So is it kosher for you to tell us who's doing that this year?
This year's Dylan Klinke is our high school maintenance aide.
And he helps me out with my sports broadcast and stuff, and he's outstanding.
Yeah, he does a nice job.
He's a good kid.
Definitely helps our maintenance guys out, like I said, you know, especially as they start to learn things and get a little bit more responsibility and kind of grow. But that's kind of the point, you know, it's always like an upper senior student who's getting ready to go to the real world. So, yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on that. So there's at least two kids kind of in those roles.
Yeah, and that's great. So, how, like, during the year, how many of the high school students do you have helping you?
Right now we have one or two. If you're going to ask me the names, I'm going to blank on it at the moment.
That's okay, because it's early. The other thing I was going to ask is for the summer, do you have more than that? Is that kind of a summer job for several of them? Just mostly those same?
You know, one kind of feeds into the next, right? We use the school year to kind of see who's going to work and who we think we can trust during the summer. And then, you know, we'll reach out to that student and see if they want to come and actually have a job during the summer then, too. And it helps us a great deal. And again, keeps building their skill set as we go.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And sometimes they come back and help you as a job.
Absolutely.
So that's really good. So anything else you want to throw in, Mr. Follenkamp?
That's the main stuff I got for now, Neil.
Okay. So let's take another break and we'll come back and talk with our elementary principal, Ms. Brandt, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Recovery Insurance Agency Incorporated. As an independent agency, Fort Recovery Insurance works with providers like Buckeye State Mutual, Nationwide, Progressive, Indiana Farmers, Donegal, Ohio Mutual, Acuity, Safeco, and Hagerty, offering insurance options for vehicles, homes, farms, life, and health. We thank Fort Recovery Insurance Agency for supporting the Tribe 107.3 WFRC LP.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Reasoner Energy Products in Coldwater, installing and servicing products from Train HVAC, Generac Generators, and Mitsubishi Electric Ductless Systems. Reasoner Energy Products is proud to support community growth through quality service and local commitment. Learn more by visiting their location at 445 Hardin Street in Coldwater or online at ReasonerEnergyProducts.com. Their phone number is 419-678-4858.
We thank Reasoner Energy Products for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Wayne IGA in downtown Fort Recovery. Wayne IGA offers a full-service meat counter with fresh-cut steaks, a full-service deli, and a grab-and-go selection of store-made salads, subs, and ready-to-eat meals. You'll also find fresh fruits and vegetables, plus a variety of party trays, including veggie and meat and cheese trays. Stop by for quality meats, fresh produce, and convenient meals made for busy days. Find more at WayneIGA.com or call 419-375-2865. Thanks to Wayne IGA for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Trader Days is coming up Thursday through Sunday, October 2nd through 5th at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road. Weekend wristbands are just $5 each. Stop out and see old friends and make some new friends. Don't miss this big annual event with vendors selling everything from coon dogs, tools and collectibles, to guns and knives, to beef jerky and cheese, and just about anything else you can think of from dozens and dozens of vendors from all over the Midwest. You'll need to come in from the south off of Watkins Road and turn north onto St. Peter Road. There's plenty of parking, and there will be gravel driveways. Plenty of food will be available on the grounds, including their famous barbecue chicken dinners on Saturday starting at 4 o'clock. Don't miss Trader Days, Thursday through Sunday, October 2nd through 5th, at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road.
Road. Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with school officials. We've talked with Superintendent Tony Stahl and technician, whatever the title is on that, with Ryan Fullenkamp, the guy that knows how to make things work. And now we're going to...
That is my official title, yes.
But at least that's what you're known as. Need, got something broken? He'll fix it. So now we'll go. I'll let you introduce yourself again, but you're the elementary principal.
I am. My name's Laura Brandt. Yes, and I just kind of wanted to highlight a couple things going on at the elementary school this year, really every year. But the first one is the science of reading. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that because I feel like in the elementary world, I feel like when you come out of elementary school, it's kind of, you know, you need to know how to read by that point. It's, yes. You're getting older and reading becomes very important to your learning. So that's a major part of what we do. And the state has kind of been focusing on that. I'd say probably the last 10 years, but really the last 5 years, there's been a lot of laws that have come out of, you'll hear the term the science of reading or dyslexia laws or third grade guaranteed. And so our teachers, we have the best teachers in Fort Recovery. They're amazing. And they have been working so hard on these, on these laws. But the heart of it really is getting our kids to be really good readers, because if they can read really well, opportunities are just amazing for them. So,
yep. And I don't know if you've seen the statistics that I've heard earlier this week on the national news. They were talking about, I think it's 40% of high school seniors are not proficient at reading.
Yes,
and it's like 30% aren't proficient in math.
Yes.
We don't really have that. Those numbers are way off from ours, right?
Those numbers are way off from ours. They are. But, you know, we do always have kids who reading just doesn't come as naturally to. Yeah. So there's lots of things, lots of research, lots of evidence out there of how we can structure things to help those kids, help all kids, really. Mm-hmm. But it benefits all kids, but it really helps those kids who struggle. So the science of reading really kind of came out. It actually came out in 2001. But like I said, the last 5 years, I feel like there's been such an emphasis on it. And it started really with teaching, you know, the letters, the sounds, the phonics, and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I really feel like our teachers, like I said, they're amazing. And they have gotten so good at that. And we've found a wonderful systemic way to teach those foundational skills. And so what we've been talking about the last, you know, 3 years since I've been there is comprehension. And comprehension is such a large, like, umbrella. Like, I always say to my teachers, what do you mean when you're saying comprehension? Because that can encompass so many different things. And so this year, with the help of our literacy specialist, she's a dyslexia certified specialist. Her name is Mrs. Scheit. She has kind of helped Miss Wormer and myself and her. We've worked together to kind of create some, I guess we would call it teacher professional development. We're calling it beyond word recognition. So we're really digging deep into what it means to comprehend for students. Because you can't really teach comprehension. Either you understand or you don't understand. And each kid kind of brings, like when we're interacting with a text, each kid brings their own background knowledge, their own vocabulary that they know. You know, what your experience is how that plays into what you're going to get from that text. So we're working on different techniques that teachers can use to kind of harness that and teach students really how to just to be better readers and to make sure they're comprehending the text that they read.
So when I was young, I don't think the word dyslexia was even a thing.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I'm dyslexic because I keep mixing up letters and numbers and stuff like that. And I like to read, but I can't. Let's say I read a chapter in a book, when I get to the end of the chapter, I don't know what I read because I'm still thinking about something on the first page.
Right.
Is that something that this system can help the kids so they don't end up dumb like me, can't read a book? Last book I read it 5 times, and it took me 5 weeks, and I didn't remember much of it at all because I just just reading the same thing over and over, and my mind wandered. And
well, I think that happens to all of us, that our mind wanders, and especially for things that we're not super interested. I mean, kudos for you for reading it five times. Like, that's endurance.
I was bound and determined I was going to read this book and understand it, and I did it five times.
My problem is when I read a book, I try to read it at the end of the night, and I'm like three pages in. Yeah. I'm asleep.
So, 3 pages a night, you know.
It's going to take me a year, but I'll get there.
Well, that's quicker than I've been doing one, so you're way ahead of me.
So, yes, to answer your question, we really do. We see kids who are beautiful at pulling the words off the page, and then they get done, and it's just like, well, got that done, but had no idea what they just read.
Yep.
So what we're trying to develop in them, we're using a technique called juicy sentences this year, and all the teachers at the elementary and most of the middle school are working on this as well, where it just teaches the kids how to dig really deep into a sentence. And what we really want at the end is for them to not be okay with the fact that they didn't understand it. If they didn't understand it, they gotta go back and do some work. So it's just kind of a way for us to all focus on the same thing and just really develop those readers at our school. We want our kids to feel like confident when they leave the elementary school, that they can handle and that they can learn whatever they want to learn. So
yeah, and that is really important. And let me just ask you, I don't know if we didn't talk about this at all before, but the library keeps talking about these 1,000 books before school. I'm guessing that's a really good thing.
It is. One of the things that came out of the science of reading is there's several models, but they all kind of hinge on these two things. And one is word recognition, mm-hmm. but the other is language comprehension, language development. Mm-hmm. And so when parents read to their kids before they even get to school, what they're really doing is developing the kids' language. Because reading's not just about, you know, all books aren't the same either. There's different, take poetry for instance, there's different sentence structures and things are written in the way we don't talk. So when kids hear that from their parents or from whoever they're you know, reading with, it just really helps develop that ability they're bringing to the table, to the text that they're starting to learn how to read, some background knowledge already. And mm-hmm. so it just makes it, they can just add and add and add to that in their brains. And it's really actually kind of amazing to see.
Yeah, and it is really, I love to see kids learning things and figuring things out. And I don't know if this has happened with you, but I see all these kids and they'll say, guess what I learned today?
Right.
And it's something that's okay, yeah, I think I've known that since I was born. But they're so excited to learn things.
They are.
And that is, there's a lots of different ways to learn. And of course, math is one thing. Reading, almost every other subject, reading is key to that. And it's somewhat key to math, but that's more numbers, but words are something too. But everything else, geography, science, history, whatever it might be, everything else.
It all hinges on reading, doesn't it?
All hinges on reading and comprehending what you're reading. And I think, you know, knowing a lot of people that have graduated from Fort Recovery, I think we've always done a good job with that. There's still some people that aren't quite there, but for the most part, our schools have done a really good job. And if you have a different way of doing things, it makes it even better.
Right.
There's progress on all kinds of things that we don't know about. So that the rest of us don't know about, that the teachers are helping our kids with. And I think sometimes the parents will learn things from the kids about things that didn't exist.
That's our hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our hope.
And I think it's just the kids always just seem so excited to you know, they hate it when you ask them in 1st of August, oh, you ready for school? No. And I just talked to a lady yesterday that I'd seen her kids a few times, and I ask them that all the time. Every time I saw them, you ready for school? No. And I asked her about it yesterday, and she said, oh, he loves his teacher, and he's learning stuff, and he'll come home and tell us all about all the stuff he learned, and they're excited.
They are. I really have the best job in the world. It's so much fun to watch these kids learn.
Yep.
It's so much fun to watch the teachers, you know, develop ways to help them as well. So it's a great gig.
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier, we have incredible teachers.
We really, really, really do.
And probably everybody in this area does. Sometimes in the big cities, you get somebody that's just, it's a job and they get some money and then they do go home and they don't care. It's just phoning it in.
Yep, definitely not like that.
That does not happen around here. And if there is somebody like that, the peer pressure with the other teachers, you know, that let's say you're a second grade teacher and you're just kind of phoning it in, the third grade teacher is going to be saying, those are things they should that you should have been teaching them how to, what went wrong there, and let me help you out. And those people don't stay around very long. I don't think that's happened around here, but that is a thing that peer pressure, if you're not doing your part, it makes my job harder, you know.
Right. Well, I almost think it's a culture, too, of just wanting to learn and to do better.
Absolutely.
So when you're in that kind of environment and people are self-reflective, then you just want to do that too. So the other thing I kind of wanted to highlight was so elementary school, obviously reading is really, really important, but also one of the things that we've started in the last couple of years too is a character program. So we do something called Character Strong, and we emphasize a word of the month, like a trait. Like for instance, this month we are working on the word respect, and our definition is seeing the value in all people and things and treating them with care. And so we do this school-wide. So the art teacher has this definition, has this poster up, the gym teacher, you know, is up in the cafeteria. So we kind of go through this throughout our whole month. It's on the daily announcements. The kids sometimes will develop announcements for me to give examples of respect. And then at the end of the month, we always celebrate whatever that character word is. So we actually started the year off with just a two-week like mini one with kindness. And so just two Fridays ago, I guess the second Friday in school, we celebrated kids that we just saw extraordinary kindness in. And it is just such a great, it's my favorite assembly. It's my favorite day of the month because we get to hand out, the teachers each hand out at least two certificates. And then I always get like the text or the emails that, hey, you gotta hear about this kid and you need to give this kid a certificate. And so our kids just clap for each other. And you know, there's no cash money prizes or anything like that.
Yeah.
We just clap for each other for these things.
They go nuts though.
They love it.
They love it. It's a wild time.
It is so much fun. So, and it's getting, you know, it's teaching. Our kids really do have good character anyway. Fort Recovery is a great community, and you know, you can tell this is not the first time they've heard the word respect. But what's nice about it is that we can talk about it in the school setting. We can give some definitions, some language, and then we get to talk to each other about different ways to show it. Different, you know, in the cafeteria, one way you can show respect is just, you know, if your walking taco fell off your plate, pick it up, you know, like, and get it cleaned up for the people who are working here. Just help them say thank you, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And like you said, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of not formally taught at home, but everybody gets that. But to be able to have it verbalized and find out that that's an actual good trait instead of, oh, mom and dad do that. Yeah,
right.
I didn't know they were that good at people. My mom mean to me. She makes me clean my room, you know. But it turns out she's doing kindness.
Right.
You find something that's messed up, you take care of it.
Right.
And so, yeah, to actually put it into words and put it as a positive character trait.
Right.
Things that they are already familiar with for the most part, for probably almost all of them, for almost every positive trait you're going to come up with this year, they're already aware of that, but or maybe not aware of it. They're already doing it, seeing it. They've seen the example, but they don't know that it's a real thing and that the rest of the world really doesn't do that.
Right.
They're not all, the world is not like that.
Right. But, so our middle school kind of jumped in on this too. They do a similar program, but this year they like separate into tribes at certain times of the year. Their whole school does, and so they've each tribe, they've done 9 tribes for us. So each tribe has taken one of these words, and then the middle school is going to help us teach the words, going to help, you know, with some of the announcements and some of that stuff as well. So the little kids get to see the big kids doing it. The big kids get to practice it. It's really cool.
That is awesome. Anything else you want to throw in? Mr. Stahl, you got any...
Well, you know, one of the things I think, just maybe looking forward into the future, I mean, I think, and this kind of brings in a little technology, we've kind of had some internal conversations about it with, like, is artificial intelligence and what we're seeing with that out there.
Yep.
I think that's a really, you know, and we're certainly, there's kids using it, there's staff members using it, and there's a lot of really great time-saving, you know, components to that. And
yes.
Just the expansion of knowledge, and but I really think in the next, you know, 10 years, and maybe sooner, you're going to see some major changes in education and kind of the delivery model of education and what we think, you know, is a teacher versus like a content, historical content expert deliverer, you know, to now, you know, having all this information so easily available to you that, you know, teaching is more of a facilitation of that knowledge and kind of guiding and coaching through that world. So I just think that's, you know, just to put that out there in the, the Ethernet is just that it's a fascinating topic. And I think we've had some internal conversations about, you know, because on the other side of it, it does open up, you know, data vulnerability and cheating and plagiarism. And, you know, does it reduce critical thinking and creativity when you have all this information? And so how do we kind of look at that moving into the future, I think, is a giant question mark for not just us, but everybody.
And this might be an unanswerable question or an easily answerable question, but let's say a kid uses artificial intelligence to do a book report. Can the teacher then run that same thing through artificial intelligence and say, is this plagiarized?
Yeah, so you can. So this is actually a really unique presentation that I watched at an AI conference, and the person stood in front of us and said, hey, I used this website that gave me a great idea on an assignment. So I used it to create the assignment, and then I sent it home with the kids, and then they used AI to complete the assignment, and then I used another piece of AI software to grade the assignment. And she goes, so what was the point of the assignment? And everybody sat there like, wait a minute. Because, you know, right now we're all just so busy collecting all the tools and all the things I can do. And it's a lot of that, well, I can do this and I can do that and I can do that. But we don't stop to think if we should be doing that or how that's all connected. Because it's still very Wild West out there. But it's going to be very unique and amazing to see how things shift. Because, you know, we're in the data age. We're getting a ton of data at us every day. But do we know what is good data? So now we have to be able to start teaching people to know what is good data and know what results you're getting back. Because, yeah, I can churn out an 80-page paper worth of junk. It doesn't mean I did my job or that I
Or that you even know. Anything. Yeah, because you didn't. All you did was hit print, and you didn't read it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I had talked to a cousin that they did kind of an exercise with that. I think where they were, I think it was over in Illinois. But anyway, they did a book report just by AI, and then they had them use that AI information to get certain phrases and certain words, sentence structures, and that type of thing, rather than having it write the whole thing. And they said there was a really, really good way to do it. But at the same time, you've got this whole thing printed out, and it took you 3 minutes instead of 15 hours to read the book, to put it into words, to do all of that. But
I think it really just highlights the, you know, it's no longer about just going, well, I completed the assignment. We really have to focus on, what did I learn? Did I learn the skills of the assignment?
Yeah, and that's what she was saying. She's one of them's a teacher, and one of them's her son, but that wasn't the same thing. But they said that they had them do the book report first, and then get the AI and see and compare them and use maybe some of the phrases that were worded better than what the kid wrote, and they're learning that instead of just hitting write me a book report on Moby Dick and then hit print and turn it in. They don't learn anything.
I'm sure many, many other people are similar, but I would much rather start getting our kids learning AI so they're learning how to use it and don't just treat it as something that's good or bad. You know, there's a lot of gray area there. It's all how we utilize these tools.
Absolutely.
is the tool good or bad?
Yep, yep.
And there was an interesting 60 Minutes on it. This has been a couple of months ago now, but it was with Khan Academy, which is like traditionally online. Mm-hmm. They made it, I think it's Khan Mingo, I think is like the program, where it's almost like an interactive tutor. And so it's not just like, you know, right now a lot of the AI, probably that a lot of schools are using, is kind of, you know, almost like a really advanced Google search, you know what I mean, with like information. But this is more of like an individualized tutor partner where you can ask a question and it won't necessarily tell you the answer, but it'll say, okay, have you thought about doing this? And then the kid can put in his information like, okay, I tried what you said and I got this answer. Well, did you care? You know, it kind of gives feedback and as opposed to just an answer. It's like an AI tutor tool that we don't have yet, but has been out there. And they did an interesting 60 Minutes on it recently.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Yep.
So it can be extremely useful, and it can also be counterproductive because the kids can just say, Bright made book report on Moby Dick. And
like any great tool through history, right? Something that's this major, you can use it for good, you can use it for evil.
Yep. Not learn a thing. You can get a good grade and didn't learn anything.
Well, and that's where I think it's going to kind of start changing how we think about teaching in terms of like, okay, when we ask a student to maybe write a paper as the example to show me what you've learned about this history topic or whatever it may be, but it's like, well, let's just assume maybe you don't know everything about it, but you can certainly get all that information. So how about you analyze that and tell me how we can learn, what can we learn from these lessons and maybe to prevent something in the future so I can apply that knowledge. So it's really going to get into another level of education that's exciting, but also something we haven't done as much of in the past.
Yep. So anything you want to add, anybody?
I'm looking at the moment. Yeah, no. We're talk AI. I could probably go for the next 2 hours. Yeah, we could probably stop here.
Certainly. Yeah. Thanks for having us, Neil.
So just kind of review cell phone. The law is going into effect January 1st, and we're going to comply with the law in ways that are completely determined or not quite determined
yet? Not quite determined yet. We're working on that. There'll be, you know, some things at the board meeting. We'll kind of push out the parents and have everybody.
Especially since earlier you said it's not like a giant problem here anyway.
Sure.
So we don't necessarily have to try to just start beating kids in the head if we see them with a cell phone. We just, you know, we can explain to them that things are...
Sure.
This is how things are done now. And so, all right. We appreciate you guys coming in and getting us filled in on what's going on in the school. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back with Rocker and his pop culture review. Is that
close enough?
Okay. And so, Superintendent Tony Stahl and Ryan Fullenkamp and Laura Brandt, we appreciate you guys coming in.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll be back in just a minute with Rocker.
Support for the Tribe comes from Winchester Speedway, located 2 miles west of Winchester, Indiana, on State Road 32.
Known as the world's fastest half-mile paved track, Winchester Speedway features sprint car racing and also hosts other events throughout the season, including monster truck shows, Vores Compact Touring Series races, and the Jeffrey Earnhardt Racing Experience. For more information is available at winchester-speedway.com or by calling 765-584-9700.
We thank the Winchester Speedway for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Our season-ending event is the 54th Winchester 400 presented by Vores Welding and Steel, October 9th through the 12th.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Site Fuel in Fort Recovery. Right on the corner of Fort Site Street and State Route 49, Fort Site Fuel is your local stop for top-tier gasoline and ultra-low sulfur diesel. It's self-serve, open 24/7, and their pumps take all the major credit cards. Easy and convenient, day or night.
We thank Fort Site Fuel for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from CSG Consulting. Asia, they help businesses and individuals build smart strategies using financial modeling and analysis. CSG assists with keeping an eye on performance, managing business dashboards, and analyzing budget differences. They also help adjust strategies and manage change because what worked before might not work tomorrow. Their focus is on understanding all the moving parts in your operation to keep everything balanced and on track. track. You can learn more at csgconsulting.us or call 419-852-4049 or 614-551-4631. Thank you, CSG Consulting, for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
There will be a blood drive at the Fort Recovery American Legion on Monday, October 29th from 3 to 6 p.m. All the blood donations will stay here locally, and everyone who registers ahead of time will receive a complimentary I Support Local Life-Saving t-shirt. And this blood drive is also to help local resident Ruby Kelly celebrate her 65th birthday. Walk-ins are welcome, but appointments are preferred, and you can schedule your appointment by calling 937-461-3220 or by going to donortime.com and using the sponsor code 1830. There's always a need for blood, and your blood donations support the needs of patients in the local area. To help Ruby Kelly celebrate her birthday and receive your complimentary I Support Local Life-Saving t-shirt, schedule your appointment at donortime.com, sponsor code 1830, to donate blood on Monday, September 29th at the American Legion.
10 or 15 minutes. Whoops, sorry, we're back. We're chit-chatting with last little chit-chat with Tony Stahl, and so now it's Rocker's turn. Do I have your microphone on there, Rocker?
I hope so.
I hope so too. So, what do you have for us tonight?
Pop culture roundup.
Pop culture roundup.
Okay. I figured it sounds a lot better than this day in pop culture history.
Okay. Well, history's good. We just had school.
Yes. By the way, respect Aretha Franklin, 1966. She's talking about respect.
Okay. Yes.
How'd you get that one in?
You had me lost there for a minute.
How'd you get that one in before I passed out?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good idea.
On this day in pop culture history, September 9th, 1975, Class opens as Welcome Back, Carter premieres on ABC.
Let's see if I can get that to play here. I thought I had it going, but it isn't ready. Yep, I think we have it here.
Bubba probably remembers this.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Back to that same
John Sebastian, Lovin' Spoonful. Back.
That's probably what he's going to be most remembered for.
But not for me.
Well, of my generation anyways.
Well, your generation's losers. My generation is the best generation ever. Except for maybe the World War II generation that saved the world. Yes, but other than that.
We need that generation back.
Yep, wouldn't hurt.
1935, September 10th.
Oh.
Popeye airs on radio for the first time.
On the radio?
Yeah, well.
That's interesting.
Imagine a guy had to do that voice.
Yeah.
1,200 times a day.
Well, I bet he got paid for it.
But your voice shot by a, you know,
yeah, some
third
people
or fourth hour.
That's actually their voice sometimes. Anyway, that's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Pop culture debate time.
Oh, debate. We're doing a debate. Pop culture debate.
Favorite best cop show, Dragnet or Kojak?
Well, I just talked to Mark Stein this afternoon, and he had talked to some guys. They were up at Pub 49 having a pizza buffet. And they were talking about Dragnet and how crappy the show was and how canned the actors were. They were saying lines instead of acting. And he decided that was one of the worst TV shows ever. Not just the cop show, but...
Lollipop.
I still liked it. Kojak I watched a few times. It was okay.
Birthday shout out. Somebody Fiend and I both know well, Chris Miller's birthday on Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Okay. Chris Miller. How old is he? 28?
He's about 2 years older than I am.
So 100.
Close enough. I'll let him take care of the rough part.
Okay.
Says in the daytime.
Oh, boy. Is it me again?
Joanne Glenser.
Oh, she's awesome.
Nice.
The tin cupboardress lady. She's awesome.
Celebrity birthday for September 9th.
Ooh, September 9th.
Cranny hooker lover himself, Hugh Grant, is 65 today.
Hugh Grant.
Adam Sandler turns 59. That's hard to believe, ain't it?
Adam Sandler.
59.
He hasn't made a good movie in quite some time, but...
Did he ever make a good movie? He made a lot of funny ones. I don't know if he ever made a good movie, but nobody cares about good movies. They just want funny movies.
Eric Stone Street of Modern Family is 54.
Well, then.
And Michael Bublé is 50.
50. He's 50?
50.
Oh, how about that?
Done.
Good song.
It's a new day. It's a new life. For me.
It's a new life for me. Feeling good.
And I'm feeling...
The Bublé or Lefevre?
Good.
That's Lefevre. This is Greg Lefevre. There's a Fort Recovery band behind him.
September 10th.
September 10th.
Bill O'Reilly turns 76.
Jeez, I thought he was older than me. Well, he is about 2 months.
And a guy my generation knows, at least by movie-wise, director Chris Columbus is 67.
So what movies did he direct?
He did, like John Hughes, a lot of teen movies.
Oh, okay.
British actor Colin Firth turned 65.
Well, then.
A lot of period pieces for that guy.
Okay.
Baseball Hall of Famer, the big unit, Randy Johnson, turned 62. He's not a bird's best friend, that's for sure.
Well, for a lot of them, he only killed one. There's still 75 trillion birds that like him.
Yeah. They haven't met him yet either.
That's right.
And they're thankful God he's retired.
Yep.
And our last one, another director, Guy Ritchie, turns 57. Good day for directors.
Well, let's see. Wasn't he the Madonna guy?
Yes, very good. He did, I think he did some of the pirate movies, too, I think.
Oh, like Pirates of the Caribbean stuff? Yeah. Don't care about that. We just care about him and Madonna.
We can't all be pearls.
Yep. Anything else?
I think that's it.
You didn't have much for us to complain about.
Well.
I'm a little disappointed.
When I come back in 2 weeks, we'll hit a top 10.
Oh, yeah. Can't be next week because you have a community club meeting. Yep.
So. Sure. I give you a break for at least 1 week out of the month.
It's not a break. It's punishment. We don't get to wait, have you on.
You got Bubba's good looks.
Well, we got the good looks, but he doesn't say controversial enough stuff for us.
Well.
We gotta yell at you.
That's why I saved these two guys for that stuff.
Okay. Well.
Sports talk time.
Yep. Yeah. So we want to thank the school administration again for coming in, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes with Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you